Raised on D&D Podcast helps to enrich your family's gaming experience by bringing you interviews with parents, educators, game designers, and influencers. Join us as we delve into the many ways that tabletop role-playing games inspire creativity, develop communication skills, and create long-lasting bonds among players. Your host has been an avid gamer since childhood, and now his kids are being raised on D&D. Here is your host, Nick Cardarelli.
Welcome back, gamers. I'm your host, Nick Cardarelli, and this is Raised on D&D. My next guest is native to Eastern Maryland. He was formerly a casual gaming streamer and competitive Star Wars Squadrons pilot. He is now a writer and editor for the website Culture Slate. He is a content creator celebrating parenting as it merges with gaming and proud nerd culture. You know him on TikTok as the nerdiest stepdad. Please welcome Ian Bowling. Hi, Ian.
Hi, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
I'm so excited about all the content you're creating on TikTok and Culture Slate. But before we jump into all of that, can you take us back to your very first experience with tabletop role-playing games and Dungeons & Dragons?
Yes, I can. So I love this question. I was listening to the other episodes, and I'm so excited to talk about this. I jumped into a game without knowing anything about D&D at all. I knew that my friends had played it. My friends in high school had played a lot of D&D and a lot of Magic the Gathering, and I just never quite got around the corner into either of those, but I always wish that I had. It just seemed so fun. So when some of my college friends, like I was in almost my 30s when I first started playing, and so when one of my friends said that he was trying to get a game together over winter break, I was like, hell yes. And I just wanted to get he sent me all the stuff. It was a lot. I mean, you know, not having done anything, he sent like all the character creation stuff. And I was like, what am I doing? And I believe I was a dragonborn wizard. And I just, of course, if I say dragonborn on a page, I'm going to pick dragon. So I was the dumb one of the group. And I just kind of played it that way. And some of us were doing voices. It was actually in person, like in my living room here. And we had so much fun doing it. And then from then on, like I found out some other of my college friends did it and some of my work friends do it. So I'm in probably 3.5 campaigns right now. It's awesome.
Wow, that is incredible. And so you just get overloaded with all the information. Here's how you make a character. Here's all the information about all the races and the classes and all that. It just poured that. So nobody baby steps you into this.
Nope, not at all. We kind of he sent me all the paperwork and a little bit of an explanation, and I could read, and I was on the website. And I just followed the instructions, and you know, it wasn't all perfect. Like we had to fix some stuff before we started, but once we got going, it was so easy. He coached us. This was his first time being a DM too. He coached us through everything. He had done all his research. He made it so easy to just get in the groove of you're in this world, you're surrounded by this, what are you doing? And we made up a playlist and had some ambiance and candles and some themed snacks too. I forget, it was a few years ago, but yeah, it was great.
So how does the transition happen where you decide to get behind the DM screen? When does that come about?
So that actually didn't happen at all until I wanted to get my family and my stepkids into D&D. I am interested in becoming a dungeon master at some point. I would love to do all the research and to know the game as well as those people. But I really started on the planning side of it when my stepkids' kids, I'm just going to say my kids, they showed interest. So I was like, oh man, we should get like a family D&D game going. And then everybody was like, yeah, that would be cool. And then I was like, oh man, I guess that means I'm going to be making this D&D. All right, let's do this. Let's go.
Well, now, Ian, how many children do you have?
So I have two stepkids, and we just had one. My daughter was born exactly 1 month ago today, actually. So I have two stepkids and one bio kid.
Congratulations. And how old are your two older children?
10 and 9. She just turned 9 in January.
That's great. And so you guys all game together as a family. And I just saw on TikTok you've introduced the new baby into the campaign. That's phenomenal. What was it that made you decide, I really want to bring this amazing hobby home to my whole family?
Well, we try and do a game night at least a couple of times a month. We set aside Tuesdays. I don't know why it became Tuesdays, but we set aside Tuesdays as like a no screens night. And a lot of that, it can be sometimes we're reading. My wife is reading Redwall to us. And that's just, I totally forgot about those stories, but it's amazing. Some D&D aspects in there too, I guess. But we do these family game nights. And I thought that since I'm having so much fun doing my other campaigns, that it would be kind of fun if we could bring the game that I'm enjoying and see if they enjoy it too. And with all the, they're so creative all in their all their separate ways, and I knew that if I could get them past like the initial, you know, struggle about doing math or all the reading involved, if I could somehow find a way to kind of circumvent that until later and just have them just enjoy all the raw creativity, that I think we'd have a lot of fun. And so far, that's exactly what's happening.
That is terrific. And how long have you guys been playing as a family now?
I want to say we've only done 4 sessions so far, but they've been a little spread out, you know, trying to find a few hours at once is tough sometimes. I would say 3 or 4 months.
Excellent. And help the folks at home who are listening an idea of what a session is kind of like for you and your family. How long do you sit down to play, and what challenges come along with gaming with 10-year-olds and 9-year-olds and now a new baby?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The first thing that I'm going to say is that everything is way simplified. You're not sifting through character sheets. I don't even have a map. I usually pull up a YouTube, one of those ambiance videos of, oh, now you're in the woods. And they love that. They love looking at that. And we are not at a table. We're at our couch with our ottoman in the middle. And we have a little tray where they roll their dice. And sometimes we move like the papers or random thing, like remote controls to show what's happening, like the layout. The 10-year-old is so energetic, and he gets so into it, and he's always standing up and jumping around and like acting out what his character's doing, which is fantastic. This session probably would last about between 2 and 4 hours. The 9-year-old will get bored if she is not directly involved in the story. So like if her character isn't the most active one in a given situation, she will kind of lose interest, lose focus. So we always bring down some coloring books or things that she can do to kind of, you know, appease her creativity, but still be kind of aware of what's happening around her. My wife, I have to say, I don't think she is as excited as the rest of us, but she is a great sport. She plays along, and she, you know, she can tell exactly where I'm going with the story. So if the kids need help figuring out like what they need to do next, like she'll nudge them in the right direction. It's really fun.
That is fantastic. I've got 3 of my own. They're a little bit older now. One just turned 17. The next one down is 15, and the next one's 14. So their little stair steps are all together. And when they're teenagers, it's a lot more difficult. Their time constraints are everyone's going in different directions. Some people have work, some people have extracurriculars, things like that. And so it's really hard for us to get together and game, especially have a campaign like we did when they were younger.
But oh, for sure.
We actually started them off when they were super young, like 4, 3, 2.5.
Wow.
So yes, we had to have the enlarged dice because the youngest one's trying to eat them. And, you know, we had the maps, the miniatures, everything out because those visual aids really helped. Now that they're older, I'm older too, I guess. Now that we're all older, we're playing some more mature games. And my middle one, he actually has been playing a video game called Mount and Blade War Banner. And it's kind of a medieval, kind of like Europe game, but it's very role-playing-isk. You create a character, and then you can kind of decide what he wants to do. And basically, you build an army, you take over towns, things like that. So there's a strategy game to it as well. But he said, this would make such a great role-playing game. And I said, that is amazing. Let's do it. And so we went ahead and we all sat down as a family and we played this one shot where it was set in the land of Calradia, which is the name, the land of the game, the continent that it takes place on. And we all played heroes from different cultures from that game and all kind of come together. And we just played this 4-hour one shot. And what we did was we took the tutorial introduction adventure from the video game and just translated it to 5e and then played in that. And so
that's
I helped him a little bit with it. So I kind of knew where the game was going, that kind of thing. But it was a great time. And what was wonderful was he ran the mission. So I got to just, the forever DM got to sit down and just enjoy the game. And and had a fantastic time finding out what they're interested in really is where the hook is. And you guys have done something very unique. When you decided to start playing D&D together, you talk about this on TikTok, but your son made a character that kind of colored the whole campaign a little differently. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So I wanted them to have the most creative freedom as possible in the beginning. I didn't want them to feel like they were doing paperwork with character sheets. I didn't want them to feel like it was homework or math or any type of work in general. I had them just imagine a character. And my stepson is a huge Star Wars fan, and he is way into all the kinds of troopers. And apparently his favorite is this trooper called a rogue trooper that has black armor. So it's kind of like a stormtrooper, black armor. And it's just straight out of Star Wars. I didn't set any rules like, oh, it has to be one of these, it has to be in this world. Oh, I didn't say anything like that. And he picked a stormtrooper. So I was like, all right. So I have experience with Star Wars 5e. Two of my other campaigns were actually Star Wars D&D campaigns off of the website SW5e. So I have experience mapping Star Wars onto D&D worlds. Like, I know how it's done. I can look up some resources and stuff on how to do that. But I was like, so how can I integrate a little bit of Star Wars into this world so that it's not just, you know, a random D&D world with a random stormtrooper in it? And so the answer I came up with, hey kids, don't listen to this part. But the answer I came up with is that so in this D&D world, mysterious things keep happening. Mysterious things keep falling from space or from the sky, from the stars. And so the campaign opened by my wife and my stepdaughter going out into the woods to investigate this this meteorite that crashed. And simultaneously, my stepson is waking up in the woods surrounded by smoke and like stone fragments on the ground. And so the first session was them meeting each other, and he is a complete mystery to them. He has no memory of how he got there. And then later on, like, more and more artifacts keep, it turns out, are falling from the stars around the D&D realm that we're in. And so we're eventually in this next session, really don't listen right now, because this next session, they are going to go through a mysterious purple portal straight out into the Star Wars world. Like, I'll probably set it on like a Star Destroyer or something. And they'll fight some battle droids and they'll find this lab where someone is studying this purple portal that leads to a D&D realm. It's really fun. He's got, I gave him like a blaster rifle so that he can shoot just like someone would shoot with a bow and arrow. I use some of the stats. I simplified everything, but I use some of the stats from SW5E on how you can attack and how you can do damage with your rolls with a weapon like that. I had him come up with traits and things. He wanted to be the fastest and the strongest and the sneakiest and all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, you can't. You gotta pick one. You know. So we're working on it, and he is already willing to, like, he's one of those players that like pushes the DM, like, how are you gonna solve this? I want to do this, like, make this happen. And I'm like, all right, let's go, this is awesome. And it's great. He's by far the most excited.
Now, your daughter, she also picked an unconventional character for Dungeons and Dragons, but much more fantastical and less sci-fi. Can you tell us about her character?
Yeah, definitely. So this was the one that stretched my creative brain the most. She wanted to be, and I quote, half cat, half mermaid. That is half cat and half mermaid. And before I even got into, like, okay, which half is wit, you know, like, is top half cat, like, I guess with the fishtail, I don't know. I was like, man, I don't know, how would this person move around the everything. So I ended up, this is how I discovered the combat wheelchair and how there's a whole mechanic built in for people who are differently abled and move around the realm in different ways. And I looked at this thing and I was like, this is fantastic. So I took the mechanics of that, and so she can turn into a cat, a full cat, for 5 minutes at a time. And she does that for most combat situations. But when she's not, when she's half cat, half mermaid, she has this tank. It's kind of like a hamster ball that is filled with water for her mermaid half. And she just rolls around like that.
It's phenomenal.
It's completely collapsible. It fits on her back when she's a cat. And she can use the water inside it to do kind of like a hydraulic push type attack when she's in combat as not a full cat. And so we're constantly like working on things like that. And we had to, like, they just traveled through a desert, so we had to use a little bit of elf magic to make the water, you know, make it a little bit more travelable in that situation. But it's very funny.
Ian, you have a new addition to the family, just like you said, about a month old. Congratulations on the new baby. But also, you've added the baby into the campaign. Can you tell us a little bit about the baby's role? And does the baby have a character? What's going on there?
Oh, yeah. So this all started just because it was one of the kids' suggestions. As soon as we had the baby and we were doing our next session, one of the kids, I forget which one, was like, oh, we got to get her into the campaign. Like, what is she doing in the game? And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I should think about something like that. And I didn't think about it too hard. But then the next day, we watched The Incredibles 2, and we saw Jack-Jack doing his superpowers all over the place. And I was just watching that movie like, yes, this is exactly what I need to do. And so I made up a little, it's the closest thing in D&D is probably wild magic. So I made like a very simplified version of a wild magic baby sorcerer. And so every time that we go into a combat situation, I secretly roll initiative for the baby, and whoever is holding the baby, when it comes to the baby's turn, has to roll a D10. And at first they didn't know why. And then after they roll the D10, I have 10 outcomes, which correspond to 10 of Jack-Jack's powers, like the lasers or the devil baby or the lighting himself on fire. And so one of those things will happen. And I didn't even give him an AC. I'm not going to have the baby take damage at all. It's just going to be, the baby doesn't do that much damage either. It's more of a hilarious distraction, because I don't want them to have to worry about protecting the baby. But it was really, really fun watching them figure out what was happening. There were like eye laser blasts, and they were like, what is that? Where did that come from? It was amazing.
That is incredible. Just fantastic. We love it. One of the best things about gaming with children is they don't have these preconceived notions. Like, I've been gaming for over 30 years. If you tell me there is a hobgoblin fortress, a kobold hideout, an orc bandit encampment, you know, I already know, okay, we're going to do steps 1, 2, and 3 to overcome this obstacle. And when it comes to children, not only do they not have those things, but they often come up with ideas out of the box, right? They come up with creative problem solving that really stretches you as a dungeon master to try and accommodate their solution and make it work within the confines of the rules, things like that. Can you tell us about a time during these last 4 or 5 sessions that you guys have had that they've come up with, you thought they were going to do, okay, I'm going to put this simple obstacle in their way. You do 1, 2, 3 in it, and you get through it, and they just kind of did something that surprised you.
Yeah, definitely. So in this most recent session, that was the one where they found the baby character. The idea that I had was for them to interrogate the pirates, like question them, maybe, you know, fight them, weaken them, question them so that they can find out where this baby came from or what's going on in the town. And my stepson is so excited with his new blaster rifle that he just walks up the path, he sees one of them, and he shoots him in the head. And I had to decide whether or not, like, we have death and defeating enemies and things. I had to just decide whether I was going to let him just be a cold-blooded killer, because he had no, like, concept of if these guys were good guys or bad guys. Yet he just saw some people, and it's like, yeah, okay, you're lucky. They turned out to be, like, evil pirates, but come on, man. there was that, and they ended up, the other pirates kind of just willingly volunteered the information out of sheer terror.
That is fantastic. It's amazing what happens when you give a 10-year-old a stormtrooper outfit and a blaster.
Oh, man.
We love playing Star Wars D&D as well. We've played the Star Wars D20 from way back in the 90s, and we've played the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars role-playing game as well. And in one of those, it gives you a mission where you're chasing a dark Jedi. All the player characters are young Padawan-like Jedis, and their Jedi Knight has been kidnapped, and they're trying to rescue him. So they're on this planet, and I have 3 of them. And at the time, they were probably like 11, 10, and 9, and they had lightsabers. And these, like, primitive indigenous aliens that are kind of like caveman level in technology charge at them. I'm like, oh no, here it comes. They got 3 lightsabers. They're going to hack these cavemen to bits, right? And instead, without any like huddle of ahead of time, without talking it out, they all use their force powers to levitate the cavemen, throw them into a fast moving river that sends them harmlessly downstream.
Wow.
And okay. I'm like, oh, okay, well, it all worked out. They made the rules and the checks, and the cavemen failed their saves. But I had to pause the game at that point and say, why didn't you just hack them up with your lightsabers? And their answer, I'll never forget, they said, well, it's not their fault. It's the Dark Jedi who's forcing them to attack us, and it wouldn't have been right to hack them down. So we just put them in the river, and that's the oldest talking. And I looked at the other two and I went, is that why you did it? And they went, yeah. And I was like,
wow.
So, I mean, so it is sometimes surprising. And I definitely was not sitting there prepared for, you know, force push rolls and resisting the force rolls and things like that. I wasn't expecting any of that. I was like,
it's not the Jedi way. Yes.
Right? I was expecting some hostile negotiation, right? But it just didn't go that way. So, Ian, I want to ask you, as of this recording, 17,000 followers on TikTok. Massively impressive. And I think I just want to congratulate you on that. That's an incredible feat. It really shows that what you're putting out there is talking to the Star Wars community, the gaming community, and also the stepdad community. There's a lot of stepdads who listen to Raised on D&D. And what we talk about a lot on the show is how Dungeons & Dragons brings people together. Can you talk for a second on your role as a stepdad, the nerdiest stepdad on TikTok, and how tabletop role-playing games has helped you create those bonds with your stepchildren as you've taken on this role?
Yeah, definitely. The nerdiest part is self-explanatory. I have always been immersed into multiple venues of nerd culture. I'm a huge Star Wars nerd, huge Marvel nerd. Video games, all kinds of whatever the new nerd thing is, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna check that out. Yeah. And I feel just insanely lucky because the kiddos, my stepchildren, they are nerdy about stuff too, and it's not always the same things. Like, luckily they're both into Star Wars. The younger one is very into Harry Potter, and I read all those books religiously when I was younger. And I feel that really helped us in the beginning to kind of cement and solidify our relationship. My wife is a nerd too, mostly Lord of the Rings. So that definitely helps in D&D. She has some context for some stuff. But it helped to have something tangible that you could focus on. If it's watching a movie, or we have some Marvel board games that we play. Marvel Splendor is one of our favorites. It helps to have something tangible that you can enjoy doing together that isn't just sitting there talking or forced bonding. Like I feel like we bonded so well and for so many, well, I wanted to say so many years, but you know, with 2020 felt like 10 years to, I don't know about you, but
yeah.
It helped us grow together. Like, we're always waiting for the next, like right now we're waiting for the next episode of Bad Batch to come out, and we're always waiting for the next season of Mandalorian or She-Hulk or whatever our next nerdy thing is. We're like, oh, it's Wednesday, let's go. And I think it really helped to have something we would be spending time together doing that wasn't, that gave us almost an excuse to like spend time together, having without it feeling forced or mandatory or uncomfortable. We both like doing this thing. And doing this thing together makes us like each other more. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's, looking back on it, that's kind of how it feels.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, I think that's the challenge for most parents, is to find that thing that you can bond with your children about, that you have in common together. Now, our house is the same way. We're Star Wars, D&D, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, all of it. And we're actually a house divided because my oldest loves Star Trek. She's a Trekkie or a Trekker,
oh, no.
However you say that. Yes. And my middle one, he's the Star Wars guy. And luckily, I'm a little of both, so it all worked out. So we celebrate nerd holidays throughout the year, like Free Comic Book Day, May the 4th be with you, Hobbit Day in September. So all of these different things, Harry Potter's birthday. And so we celebrate these holidays together as these special days throughout the year where we'll either play those games, watch those movies, eat those foods, things like that. And it's gone a long way to help cement that with the family. And what's so wonderful about tabletop role-playing games is you have already discovered that you can mix genres and mix fandoms to help with that interest, keeping their attention and that bonding. And as they get older and you guys start gaming more different types of games, you can go into a more Harry Potter-esque fantasy role-playing game. You can play Lord of the Rings tabletop. There's all these things that you can play. You can play superheroes in the new Marvel Superheroes RPG, or use something that's a little more kid-friendly, like Save the Day by Occam Arts Games. So there's different games that you can play for all these different genres and still have that amazing D&D fun. So I think that you're on the right track with that. Ian, tell us a little bit about Culture Slate and what you're doing over there at that website.
So yeah, definitely. Culture Slate is a website dedicated to kind of the fandoms and everything that we were just talking about. The big main categories are Star Wars, Marvel, DC, video games, those types of things. And we cover the latest news to come out, like new trailers, new gameplay leaks that have been dropped, new Twitter news with interviews with, like, for example, the new heads of DC and what they're doing with the new DC universe. And there's also, like, editorials. Like, I'm actually working on an article right now about how in a lot of high profile media lately, there has been a kind of a trend toward the unexpected adopted father figure. If you look at The Mandalorian, if you look at The Last of Us, if you look at even the latest Thor movie, The Witcher, like there's this trend that as a stepdad, I am just absolutely loving, where this man who did not expect to be caring for these children 2 years ago is now one of the most important figures in his life. And that is beautiful to me. And every time I see anything going that direction, I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to love this so hard.
Do you think that it's making it easier for stepdads to take in their role in the family?
I would think so. Yeah. And that's just from my perspective, but as a viewer of that type of movie, that type of show that that gets into the story that hard, I can see aspects of myself in these characters, or I can see, like, when I see them deciding what to do, how to best serve this person, I can see myself thinking, like, how can I help my stepson get over this trumpet practice that he's struggling with? How can I help my stepdaughter pass this bullying issue? Like, it's not, you know, it's not in space and it's not quite as epic with laser blasts everywhere, but I love that I can see my role represented in my favorite shows, my favorite movies.
And I think that that is fantastic, and that you, as the nerdiest stepdad on TikTok, stepping forward, letting people know, hey, look, I am a stepdad, and here's what I'm doing to connect more and more with my children. I think that is a great message. And I think 17,000 followers on TikTok agree with that statement.
Thank you.
Ian, what's the future look like? So for the nerdiest stepdad, where are you going moving forward from here? What are the big plans for your next big project?
Well, there's not really one next big project in mind yet. It's like you said, these followers and this newfound popularity, I guess you could call it, on TikTok has come very quickly over a short period of time. And there's things about being a content creator with a lot of followers that I don't understand yet, and I don't know. Where exactly to go, and I don't know exactly where I want to go and what I eventually want to use it for. So I was talking with my wife. She has actually a lot of followers on Instagram too, and we both have that in common, that we talk about our experiences with parenting. So we were talking actually this morning about possibly talking to like brands or companies or even other content creators and influencers that would like to have discussions about parenting, or would like to communicate with the people that follow us about parenting. So there's things like that. Like we might be able to offer her following and her brand is much more serious, much more story driven. And mine is often, look at this funny joke we just came up with about D&D or babies. Like, so there's still a lot of directions. It's right now, I think I'm still in the stage of enjoying the relative success. I'm having fun bouncing ideas off of her and kind of just like laying in this potential of where could we go next. It's just like the kids coming up with their characters. It's just fun to imagine where we could be going. So I hope that answered that question.
That is fantastic. Absolutely. And it's great that you don't have a definitive direction as of right now, but you two are growing together as content creators and the children are really helping drive that idea of where to go next. So Ian, thank you so much for all the content that you're creating on TikTok. Thank you for everything you're doing over at Culture Slate. And we're so excited to see what you're going to be doing next. And I wish you all the luck with the campaign with the children, D&D Star Wars. It is amazing. I can't wait to see the next update for the next session and see how you guys are coming along in that campaign. Ian, thank you again for being on the show today.
Hey, thanks again for having me. This was awesome.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Raised on D&D Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow on all your favorite apps and social media.